This is DJ Frederick. We're digging into the world of cassettes, 8-tracks, and vinyl records. From the past century of recorded sound, the Radio Thrift Shop is open for musical exploration. And today on the Thrift Shop, I'm going to be sharing one of my two favorite cassettes of 2019. Now, the first was As Long As It's Today by Andy Wrench, which is a shoegaze folk masterpiece. Now, the second cassette, my second of my two favorite cassette releases of 2019, is a little bit different. It's cover versions of library music. The release is called Solstice by a band called Medline. It was released in France. And nobody has ever produced an album like Solstice before. Legendary jazz funk soundtrack and library music holy grails from incredibly obscure albums. And they have reimagined and re-recorded these tunes. They're absolutely stunning and some of my favorite music of all time. So let's dig in to my featured recording for today, Solstice by Medline. Two tracks from Solstice by Medline here on the Radio Thrift Shop. We heard Akade Abali and Liquid Sunshine. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and I'm featuring one of my two favorite cassettes of 2019, and we're going to dig some more into Solstice in just a moment.
Here's a program from our archives. We're listening to speeded-up recordings of meteors exploding as they enter the Earth's atmosphere. If one of these objects reaches the planet in any substantial form, it's called a meteorite, and it's quite the scientific prize, if you can find one. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.
If you go in a typical Western United States surroundings that's flat, the chances of recovering a meteorite are not very good. The number of meteors that make it to the ground as meteorites of ponderable size, say a half a foot across, is probably less than two or three a year.
Douglas Revelle is a meteorologist with Los Alamos National Laboratory. He says that if you do go meteorite hunting, there's one telltale sign that you should look for.
The rocky material that comes through the atmosphere has very little ability to conduct heat into the interior. As a result, when the rocky meteorites come through the atmosphere, they develop a crust. And this crust looks kind of like a blackish-brownish melt on the outer surface. And that very often gives away the object as being a meteorite, because ordinary rocks won't have this crust on it.
But not all meteorites have that crust on them, and they can come in all shapes and sizes, as one expedition group investigating an impact in the Rocky Mountains discovered.
They did find a rare form of meteorite on the ground, and the amount of material is the smallest ever recovered. It was 2 grams, and it was probably something less than the size of the tip of your finger. In Argentina, a meteorite was found named Campo de Cielo, which is iron, and it is 6 to 7 meters across. It's the largest one I believe I know of on the ground. They've thought of bringing it somewhere to study it, but it's so big it can't be moved.
I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.
Thank you.
two tracks from my featured cassette, Midline by Solstice. We heard Shady Blues and then Solstice. Now, for more information, you can check out mybags.bandcamp.com. And there you can listen to the rest of that amazing release of cover versions of very scarce library tunes. All right, this is DJ Frederick. I'll be back with some more and different library music right after this.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. In 1893, Pullman, Illinois was the classic company town. George M. Pullman, who had designed and manufactured the famous luxury Pullman cars, had founded the town of Pullman, Illinois, as a place where his workers could live. But George Pullman also controlled nearly every income in the little town. So when the Panic of 1893 hit, Pullman reduced the workers' wages by about 25%. Now, these cuts were bad in and of themselves, but unfortunately, they were coupled with Pullman's refusal to lower the rents for his company-owned homes in Pullman. The workers formed a committee and on May 7th went to Pullman to ask to have the rents lowered. On May 7th and 9th, they were flatly refused. Three of the committee members were then terminated. This caused the workers to declare they were going out on strike, and on May 10th, 1894, they walked off of their jobs. Then on May 11th, 1894, the Pullman plant closed. In solidarity, Eugene V. Debs, who was then the head of the American Railway Union, an organization devoted to protecting railway worker rights, ordered his union to refuse to work with the Pullman cars. The strike and boycott rapidly expanded, paralyzing the Chicago rail yards and most of the 24 rail lines in the city. President Grover Cleveland issued a federal injunction against the leaders of the American Railway Union. This killed communication between strike leaders and the workers, and it sent young Eugene V. Debs to jail on contempt charges when he refused to obey the order. In addition, President Grover Cleveland sent in federal troops from Fort Sheridan to break the strike. His rationale was that Pullman cars sometimes carried U.S. mail and that the strike was hindering federal delivery of the mail. On July 23rd, federal troops entered Chicago against Governor Adgeld's repeated protest. The result was one of the most destructive strikes in U.S. labor history. Tune in for our next Hidden History, which follows the results of the Pullman strike and the rise of Eugene V. Debs. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories.
You're tuned to Homemade Homegrown Radio. This is DJ Frederick, and we're stepping into days of futures past on the Radio Thrift Shop. We'll be right back. Some new library music by Brock Beats from their cassette release, Easy Listening. We heard Wandervogel. We heard Wandervogel and Vinyl Boy. And then before that, some more new library music released by Mitch and Mitch from their album Frisco Moods. We heard Gathering. Yeah, this is DJ Frederick. You're tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop. We're kind of exploring library music in this edition of the Thrift Shop. And now for something completely different, I'm going to play a track called 13 O'Clock by Afternoon Naps.
Who did invent the alarm clock? You better stay out of my way. Who did invent the alarm clock? You better stay out of my way. Who did invent the alarm clock? You better stay out of my way. Who did invent the alarm clock? You better stay out of my way.
Thank you.
Afternoon nap with some delightful library music here on the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick. Over the past 20 years, freeform radio has almost disappeared from the airwaves. So for folks who've been listening to Seldom Heard Radio and Radio Thrift Shop, thank you for your support. I'm finding it more and more difficult to produce the programs as time goes on, including the fact that my muscles are not cooperating with the announcing due to a variety of things. I think it's partially poor dentition. I've been thrown out of more dentists' office than I can count. But it's also, I think, due to Bell's palsy, which shows up in strange ways. So thank you for hanging in there. I'm planning to get to 500 episodes and beyond. All right, let's do part two of Eugene V. Debs on Hidden Histories.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. When Grover Cleveland sent in federal troops to break up the Chicago Pullman strike in 1894, he probably wasn't anticipating the destruction that followed. The reaction of the strikers to the appearance of the federal troops was simple outrage. What had been a basically peaceful strike turned into complete mayhem, with mobs of people setting off fireworks and tipping over rail cars. The rioting grew and spread, and on July 7th, a large fire consumed seven buildings at the World's Columbian Exposition in Jackson Park, Chicago. Rioters destroyed over 700 rail cars and caused $340,000 worth of damage in the South Chicago Panhandle Yards. National Guardsmen fired into the crowd, killing at least four and possibly up to 30, and wounding at least 20 others. An estimated $80 million worth of property was damaged, and Eugene V. Debs and the other leaders of the American Railway Union who had caused the strike were found guilty of contempt for violating the injunction against the strike, and they were sent to federal prison. In prison, Debs occupied himself by reading Das Kapital by Karl Marx, and when he was finally released, he decided that nothing less than the complete reform of the capitalist system could save the working class. He declared himself a socialist. He persuaded the American Railway Union, his old union, membership to join with the Brotherhood of the Cooperative Commonwealth to found the Social Democracy of America Party. Debs, along with Eliot, were the first federal office candidates for the fledgling Socialist Party of the United States. Tune in for our next Hidden History when Eugene V. Debs becomes our first socialist candidate to run for President of the United States. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories.
You're listening to Homemade Homegrown Radio. This is DJ Frederick with the Radio Thrift Shop.
Thank you.
Booker T and the MGs here on the Radio Thrift Shop with Eleanor Rigby. Before that, a band called Timberlake, When the Time is Right. Alan Morehouse with Expo in Tokyo, and we started that set off with Alan Hawkshaw and Mystique Voyage. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. We've been celebrating the past century of recorded sound and gazing into the future of radio as well. Broadcasting like it's 1969, no rules, no genre, just the joy of freeform music on the radio. So thank you for listening, and wherever you are on the planet, remember, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, take good care of those you love.
Get your bearings, know your time. Don't you worry, weather's fine. All the world knows what I'm saying. All the world knows what I'm saying. The world knows fine.
Knows fine.